This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. This year's World Economic Forum in Davos is wrapping up today. Political and business leaders sprinkled with economists in a fancy Swiss mountain resort setting, talking policy and making friends. Let's check in with Patrick Fowles, The Economist magazine's foreign editor. Hi there, Patrick.
Hi, David, and hello from a freezing cold Davos.
Yeah, sorry about that, but apparently the vibe is warmer despite all this fragmentation geopolitically, Russia's war on Ukraine, widening gaps between rich and poor. There's a certain bounce to the step of participants that you're detecting?
Yeah, that's right. We arrived here thinking it was going to be really gloomy, you know, recession, end of globalization. And in fact, the mood's a bit better. Several reasons for that. One is most companies and economists reckon, you know, the world economy's actually been doing a bit better than expected. Inflation's coming down a bit. Secondly, people are talking a lot about China's reopening, and China sent for the first time for a long time a senior government figure here to kind of do a charm offensive for global business, saying China's back in business. And then the last thing people are pretty excited about, I think, is the sense of a big surge in investment in the energy transition and the sense that that's becoming a lot more tangible and real.
Yes, because in the U.S., we have the big Inflation Reduction Act, which, among many other things, tries to speed up the U.S. transition to more sustainable energy. And in fact, this week out of Davos, the European Union has a response, a plan of its own.
Yeah, well, from the point of view of the climate, you know, the IRA is probably a good thing. It's going to lead to much more investment in the U.S. But for the rest of the world, it's a bit terrifying, really, because there's a big concern that investment will be drawn away from Europe, away from parts of Asia to the US. So what you're seeing is countries and companies talking a lot about how they're going to respond. The EU's probably going to dilute some of its rules on competition and trade in order that it can put in place its own subsidy program. And lots of other countries are doing similar things, India, Indonesia, for example. So the world is adjusting to the new reality of that landmark piece of legislation from the Biden administration.
The World Economic Forum's annual meeting at this Swiss ski resort, I suppose, is useful for networking. You know, the great and the good rubbing shoulders, maybe friendships forged, maybe deals made. But really, after the pandemic years, the party atmosphere is really back?
Well, I'm told the number of attendees is higher than ever. And, you know, everything is rammed here, queues to get through security, to get into meetings. And Davos is a bit like a school disco for chief executives, with everyone kind of making contacts, socializing, and that's all happening. But the interesting thing is a couple of things have changed compared to a few years ago when Davos was last in full swing. One is there's far fewer people from Russia and China, the two big autocratic countries, and they're not really as much of a bigger presence. The democracies, India, Indonesia, now have a much bigger weight here. The other thing is Ukraine is still there, and it's obviously of the utmost seriousness, and President Zelensky addressed Davos demanding more arms, demanding more weaponry. And that's a kind of difference too, a sense that that conflict is still rumbling away, and obviously the stakes there are incredibly high.
Patrick Fowles, The Economist magazine's foreign editor in Davos, Switzerland this week. Patrick, thank you.
Thanks for having me, David.